Colossians chapter 3 tonight, all right? Colossians chapter 3. We're getting very close to Christmas, so I'm going to preach something that doesn't have anything to do with Christmas. But we're getting very close. That time's coming, and I'll remind you, Christmas Day, boy, I hope you'll be in church, unless you're out of town. If you're out of town, obviously, I understand. But if you're in town, boy, I hope you'll be in church. Sunday school will be at 10 o'clock. The morning service will be at 11. Sunday evening service will be 6. Those are new times just for Christmas, all right? So I hope you'll be there and be with us and just have a good time, you know. If you've got family over, see, in the evening, you'll be able to say, hey, I'm going to church. If they don't want to go, just tell them to leave, all right? Or you can bring them to church with you, you know. And they said, well, they say, we're meeting at your house for a Christmas dinner. Say, okay, I'll be there as quick as church is over, you know. And, you know, I never have understood why people think, now, I'm not mad, but I'm just throwing this out there for you. I don't understand why people think the Christians, the faithful church attenders, got to give in to those that don't go. It ought to be, hey, you are welcome. We want you to come over for Christmas dinner. That'd be great. Love to have you. Now, we'll be there as soon as we get home from church. And if you say, well, what time will that be? That's the best way to know what time it'll be, come and go to church with me, all right? Just come and go to church with me, and we'll all get there at the same time. That'll be good. All right, Colossians chapter 3, first sermon, cheap, it was short, and no extra charge for that one, all right? Won't you look, if you will, Colossians chapter 3, we want to look at three verses here. Look, we're going to start in verse 15. The Bible says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Listen, folks, there's marvelous truth in all the Word of God. All the Word of God. And I'm convinced that sometimes we miss the blessings, sometimes we miss the lessons that are often there in verse after verse. And, you know, we encourage you to read your Bible through. We encourage you to read it through in a year. But I'll be honest, if you have trouble reading, you're not the world's fastest reader. I don't want you to think, well, I'm a failure. I didn't read it through. No, just keep reading. Just keep reading, all right? Don't ever get there and think, well, you know, I can't do that. Well, just keep reading. There's a lot of people that read and absolutely pay no attention to what it says. We've got a room full of them at school. Got a room full of them. I mean, I have them ask me. I need some help. I can't find this answer. And I look and I say, well, I've already found it. There it is right there. Where? I said, right there on that page you're supposed to have read. Well, I don't see it. I don't see it. And I said, well, okay, here's right here. Start reading out loud. And sometimes they read out loud, they still miss it. Sometimes they read out loud and they go, oh. I said, yeah, I told you it's right there, all right? And the problem is we read, but what we're reading, we're just reading words. We're not thinking about what those words say. And oftentimes I think we do that, and we read our Bible. We don't stop to think enough about what we read. And sometimes I think we're looking for deep truth. And we miss the real practical stuff that's right there on the surface that could just help us so much, all right? And that's what we're looking at tonight, okay? That's what we're looking at, real practical stuff, help you in your life, all right? But, you know, then again, though, we read passages of Scripture, and we think, sounds great. And it'd be such a blessing, but it can never happen. Not to me. Not that you're doubting the Word of God, but you read it and say, yeah, I believe that's the Word of God, but I don't think it ever happened to me. I don't think that worked for me, all right? And I think our text verses are kind of like that tonight. People read them, and that's the way they feel. Just think now. Look at verse 15. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Then verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You know, I think a lot of times we read that, and if we were honest, a lot of people would say, I would love that, but I don't think it can happen with me. But it can. Because if it was impossible for that to be, then God wouldn't have said it to us. God never tells you to do something you cannot do. He never demands of you something you cannot do. So if it's in the Bible, it means it can happen, all right? And let me just take a few minutes tonight, look at these verses, and hopefully appropriate them just a little bit for our life, all right? But I want you to notice what it says and what the Bible doesn't say, all right? Look especially at verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Now, I want you to notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say work at it, push hard, labor long, and one day this could happen. Y'all understand that? It doesn't say that. No, the Bible says for us to let it happen. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Now, wait a minute. Let me remind you who he's writing to. These verses are written to Christians. His verses are written to members of a local New Testament church. Hey, that's what we are. We're born-again believers. We're members of a local New Testament church. So what the Lord is saying to them, he's saying to us, we're not trying to appropriate something that is not for us. This is definitely something that's for us. And I'm convinced the reason oftentimes we don't really enjoy some of the benefits of being a child of God is because we prevent it from happening. We just won't let it happen. We won't let it happen. Let's just look at it, see if I can convince you tonight, all right? Notice verse 15. Once again, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Hey, it's the peace of God. The peace of God. Wait a minute. Go to John chapter 14, would you? Don't lose your place in Colossians, but go to John 14. Because I want you to notice something, all right? John chapter 14. Look down, if you will, in verse 27. All right, now, got a red letter Bible? Verse 27 is in red, right? All right, so that means Jesus Christ says this. And he says, peace I reserve for you. No, it doesn't say that. It says, peace I leave with you. Notice the rest. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He said, my peace I give you. My peace I give unto you. Peace I leave with you. Hey, we're talking about our Savior when he was telling his disciples that he was going away. John chapter 14 is that very famous, the first few verses, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not true, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I'll return again. All right? So what's he talking about? He's talking to folks, and he's telling them, look, I'm going to go away, but one thing, I'm going to leave you. I'm going to leave you my peace. I'm going to leave you my peace. My peace I give unto you. All right? So that peace he's given to us, all right? That means we've got access to that peace. All right? And if we're not enjoying the peace of God, there's something wrong on our end. Because you notice there what he said, my peace I give, not as the world gives. Not as the world gives. Now, how does the world give? Okay, I like to pick on Brother Marshall. He sits close. Okay, Brother Marshall, I'm going to give you something. As long as you act right, straighten up, and do right, I'll let you keep it. The minute you goof up, I'm taking it back. Now, that's the way the world operates. That's the way the world operates. The world says, I'll give it to you as long as you meet my conditions, stay with it and all that. And if you mess up, though, taking it back. Take it back. Hey, look. If it depended upon us, we wouldn't be able to have that peace because we mess up. But the Lord said, my peace I give you, but I don't give it like the world gives, all right? I'm leaving that peace with you. That means you and I have access to the peace of God. All right? We've got access to it. If we're not enjoying that peace, something's wrong on our end. Okay? Now, if something's wrong on our end, you need to check out what's going on, all right? Because there's nothing wrong, there's nothing lacking with the provider of that peace. He is in good control, all right? Now, we just need to avail ourselves of it, but our problem is we're too busy worrying. We're too busy worrying. I woke up at night before, and I get something on my mind, and I'm saying, okay, there ain't no reason to worry about it. I'm not worrying about this. Ain't nothing I can do. The ditch or nothing I can do about it 3 a.m, all right? So, I mean, I might as well. But, man, it's just there. It's just there. And you have so much trouble pushing it aside sometimes. Hey, we get caught up worrying about things. We're caught up in planning and scheming and plotting. And because we're so in that, we can't enjoy the peace. All right? We're too worried about it. And maybe we get too worried about, well, I don't think I deserve it. Well, good, you don't. I don't either. But he said, I'm giving it to you. I'm giving it to you. I was watching, y'all pardon me maybe for this illustration, but I was watching something I usually never watch because I don't like it. But I heard on the Today Show this morning, as I was getting ready, I heard they were going to interview Jay Leno. And after bad accident, I thought, I never heard he had an accident. But anyway, found out he got burned a while back. And they were talking to him, and he was cracking up, you know, and joking and everything. And I got to thinking about that. I said, and of course, the people there on the Today, they were just marveling. Oh, you know, he just, well, wait a minute. You and I'm looking at Jay Leno. I don't profess to say he's saved, lost, or whatever, but I think he's got the right attitude. He has the right attitude. Things are going to happen. He said, I'm not going to be there weeping, you know. He said, man, I've got a nice house, a huge garage, all kinds of cars and everything. I'm not going to be in there crying, go, oh, look what happened to me, you know. Well, good. Why in the world do Christians do that? Why do we do that? Why would we let somebody, and I hope Jay Leno's saved and going to heaven. I have no idea, none whatsoever, okay? But I'm saying this to you. It'd be a shame if he's got the right attitude and God's people can't have it. What a terrible thing it would be if that was the case, all right? I mean, just a terrible way to be. We ought to have that peace because God said, I've given it to you. We ought to approach life with the idea, you know what, it's really going to be okay. It's really going to be okay. Well, man, there's been this. I know, but I'm telling you, it's going to be okay. It is going to be okay. Why? Because the Lord's in control. I'm his child. You're his child. Now, remember, we're talking about Christian people. We're talking about Bible-believing people. That's who the Bible's talking to right here. He's not talking to the Fred out here on the street, never darkens the door of a church, never trusted Christ, doesn't profess to be saved, anything. He's talking to people like you and I that profess to be saved, and he said you need to let the peace of God rule in your heart, okay? You just let it happen. We keep it from happening because we've got it all figured out. We keep it from happening because we're too busy worrying. We keep it from happening because we're too busy thinking, I don't deserve it. God wouldn't do that for me. I wouldn't do it. Oh, get over it. Now, the truth of the matter is, that's just you feeling sorry for yourself. That's me. Now, I feel sorry for myself, too, sometimes. Don't think I'm holding myself up. I feel sorry for myself sometimes. But hopefully, I finally realize, all right, suck it up, sonny boy. You're just feeling sorry for yourself. Hey, ain't nothing wrong. You're fine. You're going to be all right. So just quit going around doing that. Hey, we can have that peace. But I want you to notice the Bible said that may the peace of God rule. Rule. To rule means to exert control, direction, or influence. It means to govern, all right? That ought to be the governing agent in our heart, the peace of God. The peace of God. Yesterday morning, got to school, I'd listened to the weather reports, you know. The clouds were getting dark and everything like that, and the kids were there, and we had some kids there. It really was almost time to start, and they were kind of trying to come, and some of them got in, and then Then to make life better, the sirens start going off, you know. That makes everybody feel good, you know. And then you get kids, hey, the sirens are going off. And I'm thinking, okay, don't let them get upset. All you need is some flaky kid to go flaked out on you, you know, and then you got a whole bunch messed up. So I said, all right, hey, y'all come on in here. We're coming in here. And I didn't say, we're coming to the safe room. Hurry, hurry, hurry. You better not do it like that, okay, you know. I said, hey, y'all come on in here. We're just coming here, a little precautionary measure. Y'all just get in here. We'll take a look. I'll be done. And then I did whatever stalwart Texan does when the sirens go off. You go outside and look, all right? I want to see if anything's really coming or not. My wife and Mrs. Suggs, that teaches second grade, they had the kids in there. I think they went through the pledges. They're all crammed in this little room. And they're going through the pledges, and they were saying scripture and all that kind of stuff. I'm out there watching the clouds, and had a parent. He came up. He said, yeah, I was about to leave. My wife called me. She's panicking. And so I thought I'd come up. I said, well, good. Come on out. You can help hold the building down, right? And I said, what are you getting at? I was trying to say, man, you just let the peace of God rule. Just let the peace of God rule to govern that thing. What a difference it makes in the heart of believers when God's peace is in control. I was listening, Brother Charles talking about having that surgery for his back. He said while he was in there and they were fixing to put him under, he said, man, all of a sudden, this just sense of peace just washed over him. He said, I thought everything's going to be okay. And it is. It is. Well, what if he'd have died? Everything had been great. He'd have been in heaven. It'd have been all right. All right. Hey, look, when the peace of God rules, look back at verse 15, all right? So let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body. But when the peace of God rules, there'll be unity. Unity. Hey, can I say this to you? There'll be unity in a family when the peace of God rules. There'll be unity in a church when the peace of God rules in our hearts. Let the peace of God rule. Let it happen, okay? Let it happen. Now, you can wring your hands and worry, but you cannot solve it, cannot change it. I think it's reading years ago, and I think it was J. Frank Norris that I was reading, and he said, there's two things I worry about. He said, two things I can worry about. He said, one of them is something I can do something about. And the other one, I worry about things I can't do anything about. So he said, I've decided, instead of worrying about the things I can do something about, I ought to just do what I can do and then not worry about it. And he said, those things I cannot do anything about, there's no reason for me to worry about it. And I say that to you too. Now, wait a minute. I know as a preacher, I'm convinced people sit in a pew and you're not saying it, but you're thinking, that's real easy for you to say, buddy. You don't know what's going on in my life. And I don't. I don't, and I know it's easy to say, but I'm saying that's what we need to work at. We need to work towards that end. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, okay? Man, be a unity. Look at verse 16. Not only let the peace of God rule, but let the word of God dwell in you richly. Now, there's no doubt as to the word that we're talking about. No doubt. It's this blessed old book right here. Hey, by the way, it's more than the words in red. I know that verse says, let the word of Christ. Well, some words in red, that's what he said. Well, bless your heart, this is the word of God. Jesus Christ is God. Everything here is what he said. Everything here is what he said, all right? It's everything from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. All of it is the very word of God. And once again, since he's God, then it's the word of Christ, okay? All of it. So let the word dwell in you. Now, the word needs to dwell. But notice the mind doesn't need to dwell just a teeny little bit, but it richly, richly. Y'all understand rich? And don't have to be rich to understand rich, okay? Richly. We understand that just because we've got some folded green stuff, that doesn't mean we're rich. Doesn't mean we're rich. The real rich, as far as in the terms of the world and financially, the real rich individual would have rooms full of this. When I was in physics class, in college, we had to figure out how many $1 bills we could put in that college classroom. He said, why? Just to waste our time, all right? Because there's no sensible reason. I just want to tell you this. If you had the money that you could stick in that classroom, now we're talking stacked in there carefully, flattened out, stacked in there, okay? If you had that much money, put her down, you'd be rich, all right, in this world's eyes. Now, but that means there's a lot of it. Well, that's what the Bible's saying to you. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Be rich in the word of God. And you say, can't do it. Well, sure you can. Sure you can. Well, I don't like to read. Here we go again. We live in the day, you don't have to read. You can buy somebody to read it to you. You can even download the app, I understand. And you don't have to read it on your phone. You can have your phone read it to you, all right? I mean, you know, whatever you do, be lazy, but get the book in you, all right? I mean, get it in there. Notice that word dwell, to dwell there, all right? That's not just visit. That's not just stop by on the way to somewhere else. But it is literally to dwell is to live as a resident. And if you live somewhere, you are comfortable there, right? Comfortable. You ever go visit people and you're staying with them and you're not comfortable? You're not comfortable. I go visit my daughter. I'm not comfortable. Is it her fault? No. It's just not where I live. Plus, stupid furniture they've got. I've tried to tell them, won't y'all get some decent furniture that is comfortable, okay? And I'm not comfortable there. I get in their bed, I'm not comfortable, right? Y'all understand that? Okay, then the Bible says that you dwell, let the word of Christ dwell in you. If it's dwelling there, it's comfortable there. You're used to it. You like it. You want it to be there, all right? Hey, not like I say, just a little passing by, no, to live there. Far too many people just visit the Word from time to time. They just visit it from time to time. Oh, maybe something happens to spur their interest. It could be a time of need. It could be a moment of distress, you know. Some people, it's just a desire to impress. So they'll act like, oh, yeah, I'm a real student of the book. No, you aren't, okay? The Bible said that it would dwell in you. Dwell in you. Hey, get that book in you. Let it dwell there, all right? I mean, memorize it. Internalize it, personalize it. Just let it dwell there. That it's literally, it's part of you, okay? It's part of you. A lot of the words that are used in Southern language is words out of the Bible. We talk about the Bible, but now wait a minute. Please, I ain't preaching against Northerners and in favor of Southerners. I'm just telling you, this is the way it is. The reason, hey, the Bible Belt in the South, that's one of the reasons that we say y'all. Now, that is a shortening. In the Scripture, you'll find you all. You all. And what we do is we're lazy and we made it y'all instead of you all, okay? You know, and it's there because, why? Because, hey, at one point in time, the Bible was prevailing in Southern culture. Strong thing. And that's the reason we use some of the terminology we use nowadays. Comes out of the Bible, okay? Comes out of the Bible. Now, hang in there. It doesn't mean we're spiritual. Boy, I wish it did. It just means we brought up hearing it, so we use it. All right? Now, listen to me. The truth of the matter is, it ought to be in us. And the truth of the matter is, us old King James Bible believers, it ought to be a little bit difficult sometimes for us not to talk about thee and thou, okay? Now, I'm not talking about, I'm not saying start using that. I'm not. But I mean, if it slipped in, we ought not to go, where did that come from? Well, we ought to know it comes because we love this book. And it dwells in us. It's part of us, okay? It is in us to this point that almost, it just comes oozing out, okay? Just comes oozing out. No, we can't help it. Why? Well, we've just got so much of it in us. It dwells in us richly in all wisdom. The Bible said, let it do that. Let it do that. You say, well, how can I do that? Well, one thing is you can go to church, and every time you're there, you can pay attention. Pay attention on purpose. On purpose. And read your Bible. Read your Bible, okay? Or hire somebody to read it for you, okay? But read it to you. Not for you, but to you, okay? It ought to be there, all right? Hey, you know what the Bible said? Look at verse 16. The Bible said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And then it says, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You say, what in the world? I believe one of these things that tells us, if the word of God dwells in us, if we'll really let it dwell in us, we're able to teach and admonish other people. Now, wait a minute. Not necessarily. Class? All right, class, number one. No, but we teach them. Because they look to us and they know we've got a hold of something. People know. They can tell it. They can. The people see it. They know the book is in you. And they know they can trust what you say. And we're able to teach and admonish people. Yeah, with songs and hymns and spiritual songs. Okay? Yeah, we can do that. Why? Because we've got the word in us. The truth of the matter is, even the lost crowd respects a real godly Christian. I still believe the world respects that. They still respect it. Well, let me say this to you. It's real hard to let peace rule if the word doesn't dwell. Okay? It's real hard to let peace rule if the word doesn't dwell in you. If it doesn't dwell in you. Then look, if you will, at verse 17. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. I put down the title in my notes for this point is let your works testify. Let your works testify. Whatsoever you do. Whatsoever you do, whether it's be word or deed. Could I just say that pretty much takes in all you do? That's pretty much everything you do in word or deed. Now, nobody else can know what you think, all right? But as far as what people see it and they determine from because they see you doing something or they hear you saying something and the Bible's saying, hey, when we do that, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, if it's speaking or doing, then we're to do it in his name. If we can't do it in his name, then just don't do it. Just don't do it. I believe all that we say or do ought to give testimony to the fact that we belong to the King of Kings. I am his. I belong to him. The deeds and the words come from us and through us should serve notice that we are Christians. We are Christians. This time of year, the world gives. This time of year, the world gives. There's a lot of appeals goes out. There are all kinds of things. There's Angel Tree. There's Salvation Army and the Red Kettle. And there's all kinds of things set up, and the world gives. Toy drives, whatever, okay? I'm going to tell you this to you. As a Christian, we give year-round. Year-round. We're to be giving people. Why? Because everything we do in word or deed, we do it in the name of Jesus Christ. Everything that we do reflects on Him. Everywhere you are, whatever you're doing, if you're in the grocery store, you get a little mad, watch out. Watch out. Okay? Remember, you bear His name. You bear His name. If it's in the restaurant, it's in the workplace, it's in the neighborhood, if it's at school, wherever it is, everywhere we are, we're to give testimony of the fact that we've been saved. I belong to the Savior of this universe. I belong to the Creator God. I'm His. I belong to Him. He saved my soul, and everything I do ought to be in His name. It's not because, hey, I don't give and do things because I'm a generous person. I do it because of what the Lord's done for me, what He's done for me. We're to be that kind. It's all to be done, notice, with thanks. You see that last part of verse 17? Giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Look at the end of verse 15. Be ye thankful. That's what, tell you what, I'm thankful that I have access to the peace of God. Man, I'm so thankful I've got access to that. I'm so thankful that the Word of God that I learned a long time ago, I could believe it and trust it. And if I would do what it said, God would do what He said, and life can sure be different. I know a lot of people that never have got that figured out. Never have figured it out, all right? Hey, our works ought to give testimony to the fact we're saved. Would you just take a minute, check yourself out? Are you the reason peace doesn't rule in your heart and the Word doesn't dwell in your heart and mind? If the Word dwells and peace rules, then your works can really testify to the greatness of our God. Make all the difference in the world. If we just let Him do what He would like to do through us. But we fight it. Quit fighting it. Let Him do what He wants to do in you and through you. Let Him work in your heart and your life. Let the peace of God rule. Let the Word dwell in you. And everything you do, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, not to toot our horn, but if it's possible to toot His horn, okay? To brag on Him. To do that. Heavenly Father, Lord, would you just help us tonight? Lord, honest, such simple truth in the Word of God. The kind of thing, Lord, it's